Hello and welcome to What the Faux Travel Podcast with Nick and Amy. This is another mini episode, the final one of the series, and this one is a Q&A session. Questions from you, answers from us.
Hi guys, welcome along. So this should be fun. It's the first time we've done a Q&A, and as ever, you guys have got in touch on your numbers, and you guys are pretty weird. There's some weird questions here. There's some good questions, but there's some weird questions, but that'll make it more fun. So yeah, I'm looking forward to getting into it. Should we first do a little update? Should we tell people where we are, Amy?
Yeah, so if you can hear a squeaking in the background, that, my friends, is a bat.
Yeah.
The joys of travelling. I think it's coming from our room as well, like the roof. So we're going to try and ignore that, so you should too. But yeah, we're sitting in Brazil at the moment. We're still in the northeast, the Nordeste part of Brazil. And we are in a place called Maragogi.
Yeah, and we're going to keep heading south, moving on to Salvador. And yeah, we're enjoying the northeast of Brazil. Lots of sun, lots of beaches.
You don't sound like you're enjoying it.
I'm just chilled. I'm relaxed. Okay. But we are enjoying it. But actually, even Amy said the other day, I'm starting to get a little sick of beaches, which it does happen after a little while. You can't do the same thing over and over again. So the further south we go, we've got some other activities planned. So we're looking forward to a little change of scenery. But it's going well. It's going very well.
Right, so we're going to kick off with the question. So like Nick said, there's a few strange ones in there, but we did say you could ask us anything. So not just travel related questions, but any sort of question. We've got a lot of travel ones, but yeah, let's delve in. So the first question is from Graham Mitchell, and he said, who's the boss of the podcast? Me.
Yeah, that's true. That's an easy one. Because, Amy, you've got all the experience in radio, so you know what you're talking about. Like, I might come up with an idea. I think this is going to be a really good idea for the show. And you're like, Nick, that will sound shit. Like, that won't work. So if I ever do come up with anything, I run it past you first. And like, if Amy says it's okay, then we do it. That's the way it works.
I'm the boss, so... Yeah. No, but like, that doesn't mean that I come up with most of the ideas. Like, I'd say, if anything, it's 50-50 with ideas and content and actually making it all, but I'm like the person that finally signs it off.
Yeah, you're the editor.
I guess so.
Yeah, so following on from that, he's also asked, who's the boss of the relationship? So this
Me.
Might not be... I don't think this is as straightforward as an answer.
What, are you going to answer it? Or?
Okay, well, I'll tell you what I think. I think, yes, a lot of the time Amy is, and I think from the outside... People would think that. I think most relationships, people think, you know, the woman's in charge, you know, the girl, woman, whatever. But, you know, you've told me you've thought a bit differently about this, Amy, whenever we get this question.
Yeah, so this is something that we were asked on our wedding day, actually, because we played a game called the shoe game. And you sit back to back and you hold each of your shoes. So I held one of my wedding shoes and one of Nick's. And you get asked questions, and it's a bit like Mr. and Mrs., and you put up the shoe of who you think it is. And they said, who's in control of the relationship? And we both put up my shoe, but actually, it's a really equal relationship. And yeah, I agree. From the outside, everyone goes, oh, Amy wears the trousers. Yeah, good one. But actually, I think Nick does. Basically, because I'm an anxious mess. So if I can't make a decision, which is almost 100% of the time, I was looking at you and I'm like, Nick, what should I do?
Yeah, you have this weird thing where you're like, you need my approval for an idea. And you were like, oh, Nick, can we please do this? I'm like, you don't have to ask me if you want to do something. Like, you're an adult. You're in control of your own life as well. So, yeah, you do have a weird thing like, we'll do this and we'll do that. If that's all right. I'm like, yeah, of course it's okay. Like, is there really ever a time where I say no and, like, you'd listen to me? But you still have a weird thing where it's like, yeah, you want me to... approve the idea or think of an idea for you.
Yeah, like, yeah, I think in the podcast I'm like the final editor who says yes or no, and in life I feel like maybe you are.
Yeah, I think that's true.
Equal all round. Okay, so should we go for the next question?
And a great question from Kendall Husband, just simply, Monica or Rachel?
Now this can have a lot of connotations, because the first thing you think of is, who do you fancy, Monica or Rachel? But, I mean, we could take it in loads of different ways, couldn't we?
Yeah, like, who do you think is the most funniest? Who's the best character? Who would you rather be friends with?
Or, who do you think you are?
Yeah, that's very true. So for the few that don't know what we're talking about the TV show Friends. So who do we prefer, Monica or Rachel? So yeah, Amy, what do you think?
So my gut's going Rachel. I don't really know why, but I think I'm more of a Monica because I'm a bit anal about things. I like things to be clean. And yeah.
I'm not high maintenance.
Tell them I'm not high maintenance.
Chandler.
Yeah, like I think everybody kind of dreams that there'll be Rachel, but actually, I don't know, like, because yeah, she's just like a daddy's girl and she was brave to cut up those credit cards in the first season and become an adult, but I don't know. I think I'm more Monica, but I love them both.
Yeah. You? Well, yeah, I think Rachel, like, she's more easygoing and more funny, and she is, like, better looking than Monica. But actually, I'm going to be honest, I can't tell you what number, there's one or two seasons of Friends where actually, I think Monica is better looking than Rachel.
Cool. Well, just to let you listeners in on a little thing. So quite a few of my friends say I look like Monica. So I'm really glad that you just said that Rachel's hotter. So
just because you look like someone doesn't mean you look exactly like the person.
So anyway, do you think Jennifer Aniston's hotter than me?
Let's
so.
Not go into this. But that's my answer. I think also we both said Rachel.
Okay, right.
Amy just wants to make things weird and awkward.
Well, wait, let's wait till the next few questions because I know what my answer is going to be. So let's move on. Brad Wells. Hello, Brad. He said, what's the most disgusting thing you've ever eaten? I'ma say Nick's dick.
This is a family show. Actually, it's not
no,
a family
actually,
show.
I'm gonna be completely honest on this episode. We had an argument today, so I'm gonna go in on Nick on this one. So
yeah, there's no question saying, do you guys ever argue? Because normally we'd be like, no, not at all. But earlier today.
Well, yep, today we did. So.
Most disgusting thing, probably, I don't know, the cow brain sticks out, but I actually thought it was quite tasty. I thought it was fine. It's one of them things where if you think about it, you think it's gross, but it tasted fine. Friends of ours in Israel, when we were there, they offered us like almost like this kind of hangover drink, which was purely disgusting, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was
I don't think it was disgusting. It was like ginger and lime. And it was really fresh, but it just burnt your throat.
Yeah, it's supposed to be really healthy, like a recovery thing. But it had a lot of ginger in it. And you know how ginger can be quite hot and spicy sometimes? It was disgusting, wasn't it?
Yeah, like it really hurt the throat, but I wouldn't say it was disgusting. Like the actual taste of it, I thought was quite nice. It was fresh.
I guess. But then around the world, disgusting things. I'd eat most things. I don't think things are really disgusting. I didn't do the whole like scorpion tarantula thing in Thailand, which I think I would do this time. As long as something's cooked, I'll eat most things. So.
What, like a fetus inside an egg where you have to like peel the shell and just like eat the fetus?
Yeah, they do that in China, don't they? I don't know if they're cooked or not. That does sound gross, doesn't it? I don't
that
agree.
That makes me gag a little bit.
Yeah, I don't agree with letting an animal kind of grow to be a fetus then just to eat it. It seems such a waste of life. But I probably wouldn't do that, no.
Okay.
So cow brain, I guess. Next question, Sasha Mitchell. Would we recommend...
A lot of Mitchells on these questions.
Mitchell, it's Graham like an episode Mitchell. Of EastEnders.
That was pretty quick, actually. If you didn't know, EastEnders is an English soap and there's a family in it called the Mitchells.
Mitchell Brothers. Okay, where are we? Yeah, Sasha Mitchell. Would we recommend multi-stop flights or single flights?
Yeah, now this is an interesting one because we actually have never done multi-stop flights. We've always done single ones. So I guess that kind of tells you your answer that we prefer single ones. But I remember when I first started researching travel, I remember looking at these multi-stop flights for a long time, and I can't actually remember the terms and conditions of them. If you can use them by, for example, 5 flights and that goes around the world and you can use them over the space of a year or 2 years, then fine. But if you have to use them in the space of like a month, then it's probably going to be too rushed, and I wouldn't recommend that because if you've got a month to play with and travel, then just kind of stick to one place and don't constantly move around because you're just wasting time that you could be actually just really learning about a culture or a country.
Yeah, I think it's better to get to know a country really well than to do like a whistle-stop tour of 5 of them. Do you know what I mean? So yeah, they're multi-stop flights. The round-the-world tickets, you know, they sound great and sound really glamorous. Like, wow, a round-the-world ticket. But really, what do you get, like 5, 6, 7 stops? So you're talking about doing a round-the-world trip, and you only really see 5, 6, or 7 places a little bit. But, you know, I'm sure there are plenty of different options. But, yeah, we'd rather do the single flights, get to know that country quite well, and then move on to the next country.
And the thing to remember with travel as well, just because it doesn't work for one person doesn't mean it won't work for the next. So if that's something that you're looking at, then just look at your time frame that you've got and, you know, the importance of the places in that country. So if you wanted to visit Brazil, but you didn't want to see all of it, like, for example, we're not too keen on going to the Amazon, but we love seeing Rio and Sao Paulo and the coast. So, you know, you just need to work out what you want to see and then see if the flights work out financially in a good way.
Yeah, good answer and good question.
Thank you. And I'll say thank you on Sasha's behalf for the question. Damien King, right, he says, every traveller has a shit story. Not a bad story, a literal shit story. Horrific toilet, deli belly, etc. What's yours?
Amy's got a cracker. Actually, I think you've got two.
Well, see, I didn't think I had one of these stories until I actually thought about it, because I've never been, luckily, and I hope this never happens, I've never been in a situation where I've been, like, on a bus with diarrhea or anything like that. But, yeah, so when we was in Cuba, which makes it all worse because we was in Cuba, if you haven't heard our Cuban episode, we hate Cuba, and I would recommend you go listen to it. But we were in Cuba, and I was taking some tablets for very bad period pain, which were given to me by my doctor. And I remember him telling me, you know, you always have to eat when you take them. Fine, whatever. Anyway, I've been every time I took these tablets, I felt a bit dizzy and funny and faint. And this particular time, they made me go to the toilet a lot, didn't they?
Yep.
So I was so weak, I couldn't even stand up. Anyway, Nick had, like, basically carried me to the bathroom and I was going to the toilet. And so if you imagine this, so I'm sitting on a toilet and I was like, Nick, I'm going to faint. Nick, I'm going to faint. So he grabs me as I, like, tumble to my right, which is the shower, where if he wasn't there, I would have cracked my head open on, like, a concrete, like, shower. Because it was just, yeah, a bit of concrete and a shower curtain. It wasn't a real shower. And do you want to just describe what I looked like at that point?
Yeah, because from now on in the story, Amy's unconscious. So.
Yeah, so I don't know what happened.
So I might as well
I don't
tell
know
it.
What Nick did to me at that point.
No, trust me, I wouldn't want to do anything with the state you were in. So you were pale white, and you suddenly went really hot, and then you passed out, you sat on the toilet, head went back, and but your eyes were still open, and your eyes were really white. Really wide open eyes, mouth open, and as you passed out, you were shitting. So you could hear it come out, and then it was like something from The Exorcist. Like, your face was like, rah, blah, 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 blah. You're like talking tongues out your ass. But yeah, while passed out on the toilet, you were shitting.
Yeah.
Now, I'm still with you, so if that's not real love, then I don't know what is.
Thanks. I can't remember what my second one was.
Koh Samui in Thailand.
Yeah, so this was actually another sort of allergy. Oh, anyway, that Cuba story was all because of those tablets. And I didn't realise, but they made me faint. And because it happened a few months earlier at work and I had no idea why. But yeah, it was a tablet. So always double check what your doctor's giving you. That's your advice there. But the second story was just good old allergy to pineapple, this one. So I didn't realise at the time, but I'm severely allergic to pineapple. It's another thing that makes me faint and it makes me go to the toilet. So I was ill in bed, I think, for about 2 days.
Yeah.
And this was another moment where I wasn't actually there when this happened, but we'd gone through, I don't know, 10 toilet rolls or something like that, and you had to go get some more. I think you had to go on a couple of runs.
Oh, it's so embarrassing.
No pun intended.
Oh, yeah, a couple of runs. I had to speak to the person that owned the hotel or wherever we were.
Airbnb,
staying.
I think it
was. Yeah, I just had to keep saying, more toilet paper, please. Because you know when it's that really crap paper, it's really thin and it goes really quickly. But we went through so much paper. I say we. Why am I saying we? You went through so much paper.
Okay, what's your story?
Mine's kind of almost the opposite of that, but I think it's still a great story.
Oh, yeah.
It's in Thailand, and because I was eating rice 3 times a day, I just didn't go, and I couldn't go. And it was 15, I think 16 days, actually. It was over 2 weeks without going for a shit. And it's the first time I've ever been constipated, and it is a really weird feeling because you feel so full and so heavy, And you feel like you could go, but every time you go in the toilet, no matter how much you push, nothing happens. It's a really weird, frustrating feeling. And it didn't get better, that problem, until we got back home, ate good old English food. And then I think I remember the second day we were home, just like 2 weeks of Thailand exited me. And it felt amazing.
Okay. I mean, we didn't ask how it felt, but okay.
I've remembered. I also got another quick one. I haven't told you this, Amy. It's nothing major, but I just remember it. Speaking of like horrific toilets, you might think India or somewhere like that. But nope, the worst toilet I ever saw was actually in the USA when I was doing my Camp America thing. We did a little camp out in the woods, and to go to a toilet, you use an outhouse, just a little wooden shack, and it's just a hole, basically. But it doesn't sound too bad. But even to this day, I remember the smell. Can't describe it. It's the worst, most disgusting smell ever. Like, it's one where you really had to hold your breath as you were going, because it never gets cleaned out. It's just a hole.
Was it really worse than Indian toilets?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Like, Indian toilets on a train or Egyptian toilets on a train weren't that good either, or public toilets in India. But no, the worst toilet experience was actually the USA.
Mm. I had quite a bad toilet experience yesterday, actually. We were on the beach and we saw a sign for toilets. So I asked where it was and they pointed to this bit of black material. And then I went down there and it didn't have a roof and it was just I don't even know how to explain it. It was just a square piece of material and people just piss on the sand. And I mean, I wouldn't normally use the word piss, but it was just piss everywhere. And there was just flies just circling around the piss. And I had to walk in there, hold my nose. And you just go in the sand and it's like, I could just be standing on, I don't even know what. It was just, it was not good.
Good times. And there's more piss stories coming up later in the show.
Okay,
There is, yeah.
Okay. Next question. Would we rather visit the North or South Pole? And that question comes from Ashley Hogan.
I would say South Pole, which is Antarctica. That just seems way more of an adventure. It's like, you know, it's its own continent. I believe that's where penguins are, because polar bears are in the North Pole. And I just think it'd be such an adventure, but it'd have to be hopefully one day of a company we work with, because it is very expensive. I think you have to first go to Argentina, or there's an island nearby, there's an island somewhere nearby, and you have to get a big boat to get to Antarctica. And it just looks like the ultimate adventure for this planet anyway. So Antarctica for me, for sure.
And for me, if Nick is going south, because we had an argument earlier, I'm going to say north. I would like to be as far away as possible from him I can be. But is that true that you can only see polar bears in the north?
Yes.
Then I'd definitely go north then. I'm not actually even joking anymore. Like, I'd definitely go north. I feel like north would be more of an adventure. Isn't that where Prince Harry did his hike?
I don't know, actually. North or south? I don't know.
I don't know. I just feel like the North is more of an adventure.
North would be cool because you'd almost literally be on top of the world.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Who wants to be on the who wants to go, I'm on the bottom of the world? Like, that's, you just, nah, yeah. North, definitely.
And Father Christmas lives in the North.
I mean, are there children listening to this? Because he ain't real, okay?
Whoa, whoa, whoa. What are you talking about?
Okay. Next question, Nick. Move on.
Okay. The next question is from Luke Teasdale. He said, Nick, how many football stadiums have you watched Sheffield Wednesday in? So my team, Sheffield Wednesday, I've actually been to quite a few. I mean, not as much as someone that goes every week, but I used to be quite into it. Not as much as I am now. But I counted earlier, 31 stadiums, but then that's not including our own stadium. So 32 stadiums. And we might speed this bit up because there's some interesting ones here. There's quite a variety of teams here. There's some like good Premier League teams, and there's some teams who some people would probably never heard of. So I've been to Colchester, Burnley, Blackburn, Manchester City, Luton, Port Vale, Tranmere, Nottingham Forest, Millwall, Norwich, Ipswich, Carlisle, Newcastle, Stevenage, Watford, Queen's Park Rangers, Birmingham, Leicester, that's Luke's team, I know it is, Southampton, Fulham, Brentford, Reading, Aston Villa, West Brom, Brighton, Blackpool, Charlton, Peterborough, Southend, MK Dons, and Bury. Now, that's quite a lot, and that's, think about all the money. That's a lot of money and a lot of time, you could argue, wasted.
Which could have bought, two or three flights.
That's true. But, yeah, when I was younger, I was quite into it big time now. Now? I was quite into it big time when I was younger, but not so much now. But, obviously, I'm still a big football fan.
Does Luke want to know what stadiums I've been to, or is it all about you?
Yeah, actually, Amy's been to a couple. Go on, Amy.
So my first game was to see Chelsea and Middlesbrough?
Yes.
Is that who? Middlesbrough?
Yeah.
No, isn't it the team that Adam supports?
No, it wasn't Huddersfield.
It was Huddersfield.
It was Middlesbrough, but okay. Carry on.
Where have I seen Sheffield Wednesday?
At Sheffield Wednesday?
Dagenham and Redbridge.
Oh, I didn't put that on the list. Oh, sorry, Luke. I've been to the 33 in total. I've been to Dagenham and Redbridge as well.
Oh, okay.
Good memory, Amy.
Thanks, babe. I can't remember and I'm bored.
You've
now.
Been to Watford and, yeah, Sheffield,
okay,
Hillsborough.
Okay, cool. Right, Luke's second question. What's the most disappointing or underwhelming attraction / place you've visited? Now, I would say, in Iceland, when you go to the place where you see the two tectonic plates, that wasn't that fascinating to me.
what did you say when we saw it?
They just look like marshes. Like, they're just muddy, foggy bits of water and grass. Like, it was boring as fuck, to be honest. But the thing is like, I'm really interested in geography and science. Tectonic plates interest me. I mean, go to some tectonic plates near Japan and they'll give you earthquakes, they'll give you like all this interesting shit. But you go to Iceland, it's like, yeah, this field is a tectonic plate where it meets another one. Good one. Boring. Move on.
All right, we'll move on. You do get volcanoes in Iceland as well. But anyway, Leah, let's move on. For me, so we went to the Little Mermaid in Copenhagen, but we knew it was going to be underwhelming. Like, it's a big tourist attraction, but it's known for being underwhelming, so it probably doesn't really count. I've got a controversial one, people. The Blue Mosque in Istanbul.
Oh, yeah.
I was expecting something way better. Like, the pictures look amazing. And then when I saw it in real life, I was like, oh, that's it there. Because it's a stone's throw away from a much bigger mosque. Isn't it?
Yeah,
Sophia something?
Hagia Sophia, yeah.
Yeah, or it was a mosque, it's a museum, whatever. But yeah, it basically looks like a mosque. But the Blue Mosque, I was like, oh, is that it? So, yeah.
And it's not actually blue on the outside. The reason it's called the Blue Mosque is because of the colour on the inside. So we were surrounded by so many mosques. Obviously, we were in Istanbul. There's thousands. So we were like, which one's the blue one? But yeah, that was pretty underwhelming, actually. Yeah, that's a good
little
answer.
Little tease for our Turkey episode coming up next series.
There you go. And also, this might be a bit controversial because Thailand's a special place for a lot of you because it's normally like the first place people backpack. But Thai temples, they're a bit underwhelming, aren't they? Like, especially if you've been to one, you've been to them all, to be honest. And I don't want to be disrespectful about their religion or their culture or anything, but once you've seen one, you've seen them all, haven't you?
Agreed. I think we can all agree on that.
Okay, pocket trailblazer Charlie Keep said sweet or salt?
Salt for sure.
Yeah, if it comes to food, I'm going to say salt because I couldn't live without savoury food. But while I'm here in Brazil, I've definitely got a sweet tooth, which I don't have at home. I can't stop eating doce de leche.
You love it, don't you? Yeah, you have got a sweet tooth here. But yeah, normally back home, we are salty people.
We are right salts.
Does that remind you of the most disgusting thing you put in your mouth? All right, that couple that travel on Instagram, Georgia and Jordan, said, when you guys become famous, will you collaborate with us? What do you mean, when we're famous?
I mean, we're basically famous now because we put out, does anyone want to ask us questions? And you all came back with loads of questions. So.
We didn't have to make up any. No, seriously. Of course, when we are famous, you guys, you're on board. We'll work with you. Of course we will. They also asked, which country have you been most surprised by, good or bad? So, Amy, what do you think?
Oh, obviously Cuba. For being bad. It was just one of those countries that I used to salsa dance. I thought it would be full of culture, like have really amazing old antique buildings and lots of culture, lots of dancing. I can kind of speak the language or Spanish anyway, not like the African Spanish that the natives speak. But yeah, I just thought it would be completely up my street and it really wasn't. And it was quite a dangerous place and really underwhelming and not very nice.
Yeah, expectations were sky high. Even me for Cuba, they were really high. I thought it was going to be brilliant.
In terms of good though, Brazil really surprised me, I think, because everybody always says how dangerous it is and all of that. And I'm not denying that the bad things happen here, as everywhere in the world. You know, there's shootings and killings and thefts and everything in every single country on this planet. But, like, luckily, fingers crossed, nothing bad has happened to us in this country. And it's really surprised me with how lovely and down to earth the people are and how great the food is. That's a big part of why this surprised me, the food. We don't really talk about Brazilian food in the UK anyway, and it should be a massive thing because it's delicious. As you all know, if you've heard the food episode, we won't stop banging on about it. But yeah, Brazil is another one for me.
And while we're talking about Brazil and Cuba, we said this a few times, the north of Brazil has actually given us everything we wanted from Cuba. We wanted nice weather, we wanted friendly people, we wanted music and dancing.
And all the colonial type buildings. So Portuguese colonial towns are really, really good looking. Like everything's really colourful and it's beautiful.
Yeah, like here in the north of Brazil, there's so much music and like Amy said, the towns and the little villages and stuff are beautiful. You can join in with locals dancing. You can have like a massive big like caipirinha cocktail for like £2. Whereas in Cuba, a mojito was famous from Cuba. Cost like £8 or £10, like it was a rip-off Cuba. But yeah, north of Brazil has actually got everything we wanted from Cuba. So good tip there for you people. Don't go Cuba, come to the north of Brazil. So for me to answer that question, I was surprised in a bad way, by Iceland, Cuba and Egypt, because I'd heard such good things about all of those places. But surprised in a good way, Turkey, because I'd heard mixed reviews about Turkey, but again, another tease for the episode. I was well impressed with Turkey. Copenhagen, I thought it was just going to be like another European city and very expensive, but Copenhagen blew my socks off. I was very surprised by Copenhagen. And Morocco, I was surprised because the first time we went for a day trip, we hated it. Second time, we bloody loved it. So that was also a very good surprise.
There we go. Next question. Claire Taylor. Hello, lovely Claire. Could either of you have ever been with someone who didn't like travel?
No.
Okay, well, I would like to be with anyone but Nick right now. So, yes, I could.
Well, my honest answer, we'll get back to you, Amy, for your real answer. My honest answer is I'd like to think that no, but to be honest, if it wasn't for Amy, I probably would have like fallen into the whole trap of like get married, buy a house, have kids, die. So I probably would have. But I'm glad that I haven't fallen into that trap because, ever since like I was a little kid, I've always enjoyed going to new places, whether it be a new country or just like a new place in my own country. Going to new places always excited me, so I'm glad I still get to do that with my bestest friend ever.
See, he's trying to suck up to me because I'm not going to go into it, but anyway. Okay, so for my real answer, right, I'm not even going to think about Nick as a person, but could I be with someone that wasn't into travel? I don't know, because you're right, Nick, like when we first met, you actually said to me at one point, like, I've done my travel thing, I did America, and I'm kind of done, which now makes me want to throw up, because how dare he say he's done America, he's done the travel thing.
It's in the world.
That's mental. So, and I actually had to almost force him to book our first tickets away, which was to Thailand. And I think whoever I ended up with, I would have forced them to do it anyway, because I feel like I wouldn't have taken no for an answer, because that's something I wanted to do. Like, you're either going to come with me or you're not. So if Nick didn't come with me, I would have broke up with him. So
I made the right choice then.
Yeah, clearly, because I am a catch.
A keeper.
But no, seriously, like, that's what I wanted to do. So I weren't going to give it up for anyone, really, if I'm being honest. I wouldn't have given it up. And I think you fall with the right people. Like, me and Nick get on because, all right, I forgive you now, right? We're best mates, okay? We're best mates. We like the same stuff. And that's what makes the relationship easy.
Teamwork makes the dream work.
So yeah, so even if it's not travel, if it's another thing that you have in common, as long as you have that at least one strong thing in common, I think you're all good.
Great. That's words of wisdom there from a very clever lady.
Claire, stop sucking up to me.
Speaking of clever ladies, Claire also asked, what are your biggest travel pet peeves? Like things you see other tourists doing that we hate. So I think I will go for people who take pictures, and by the way, the stuff I'm about to say, I've probably done this once in my life before, but people who take pictures of everything, like, I get the landmarks, or if there's a nice view and you take a picture of where you are, or take a picture of your food, I get that, but literally everything, like, these are the stairways up to our room in the hotel, that's the window in our hotel, but that's the street lamp outside, everything, like click, 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 and they don't even really think about taking the picture of. They just go, put the camera up, click, that'll do. It's like, you're never going to look back on all of those pictures. So that's just a waste of time taking a picture of everything. So that annoys me. And also people that say, oh, the locals were so friendly, but then these are the same people that never leave the resort. It's like, of course they're friendly. They're getting paid to, you know, bring you food
and
drinks. So that annoys me. And finally, tourists who just like, they're staying in a resort or a hotel and they think they're above like the local staff. I just think like, it's their country, you pricks. Like, you're not above, just because you come from like, I don't know, England or America, from like a richer country or something, thinking that the staff are below you, yeah, really annoys me.
Okay, there's some good ones there. I agree with that really annoys me when people are like, oh my God, we got on so well with the locals. It's like, what, the ones that were bringing you drinks and they were like, they were looking for a tip. Like, of course they're being nice to you, but also like, stop being so ignorant, you're a dickhead. But my ones, I've got people walking slowly, which is just like a general life annoyance. People that just have no spatial awareness, that really annoys me.
You hate that.
Particularly if they're taking a selfie and it's like they're holding up a whole queue of people. And I'm like, can you not get outside of your own fucking head and realise that there's all these people that you're holding up their lives, their precious time that they're never going to get back. And they'll be on their deathbed one day thinking, if only that girl wasn't taking a selfie, I would have those few seconds back.
I feel like this is your specialist subject, this particular question. You could do a whole podcast on just this, the stuff you hate when you're traveling.
Well, when we were thinking about the questions, I thought there's so many that there's things I moan about on a day-to-day basis, but now I can't remember what they are. But yeah, spatial awareness because of selfies, hostels and people's bags. Oh my goodness. When you're in a room with like eight other people and they just spread their shit all over the room, it's like, oh, thank you, I really wanted your underwear right by my bag. Can you maybe put it in your dirty bag and keep all your dirt to yourself? There was one that we stayed in recently where there was a load of girls in the room and then just me and Nick and then one other guy. And I went into the bathroom to have a shower and the girl had hung up her dirty knickers on like a towel rack. And I was like, do you actually think that I want to come in and have a shower while I'm staring at your underwear? Like, that's just not what I had planned for my day today. Can you put your shit away and stop being so disgusting? Like, the amount of times we walked in there and they were just like, legs open. Do you remember that time we walked into the hostel and she was like, there's two of the girls laying on the bed watching something on their phone, just sitting there with her legs open, and I was like, can you shut your legs because I can see everything. So
no, I honestly, well, people are gonna think I'm just saying I never saw that, but I remember you telling me.
He's sweating right now, so
it's the humidity.
Also, tourists not trying the language. The amount of times where you see people talking louder and slower to people because they can't be bothered to learn a few basic words like please and thank you. Or it's mainly when people say thank you in their own language, not in the country that they are. It's like, come on, you need to just learn one word. That annoys me. And finally, the one that I've written down, but I'm sure there's loads more. Tourists that don't shower, because especially if they're staying in a hostel room as well. I mean, come on, like, these rooms are as grotty as they can be anyway. Let's try and lift the smell a bit by getting in the shower, yeah? Cool. I think we should move on to the next question before my blood pressure goes any higher. Next question. Hinesh Patel asked, have you got a set plan of countries that you want to visit, or are you going with the flow? Now, I would say, well, this is how we differ a little bit, I think, where I like to be spontaneous and you like to be quite planned, don't you?
Yeah. I just like to know that if there's somewhere I want to go to, it's like, okay, that's the plan. That's how we get there. I have to be there on this day to get this bus or flight or whatever. Yeah, so I like to know that I'm going to go to all the spots I want to go to. But yeah, my general attitude towards this is that, yes, we do have set countries that we know we want to go to, basically all of South America, but when we go is more relaxed. Like, we just go with the flow. But then when we're in one country, we might get the opportunity to go to another country. Fine. But we do have a plan, a rough plan, but we are still going with the flow. Do you agree?
Yeah, like on this particular trip, so we're making our way all the way up to Mexico because we want to do all those countries, but also that's the cheapest way for us to do it. We're here now, we can travel overland all the way up, pretty much.
Yeah.
So we might as well do it now rather than miss one or two of the countries out and then finally go home at the end of this whole big trip and then have to fly all the way back this way just for those two countries again. And so, yeah, we love South America. We think it's our favourite continent for now anyway. So why not spend time here? So, yeah, we're working our way up to Mexico, but that's open to change. If something happens and it's in South Africa or somewhere in Asia, then, you know, we can change our plans and go.
Yeah, boy. Okay, so Katarina, she asked, how did you get the motivation to do your podcast knowing that you didn't have a large audience yet? So I think for me, yeah, we did it because we enjoyed doing it. I think we mentioned on the show before, I was never supposed to be on the show. I was on the first episode. It was supposed to just be Amy's thing, but I enjoyed it so much that we carried on. So we enjoyed it. We thought we had something unique to offer and like to say. So then if you've got those two things, if you like what you're doing and you've got something unique to offer people, then hopefully the audience should come next. So you don't really think about the audience at first. You just hope that it follows if you're doing something that you enjoy.
Yeah, and I myself really like a challenge. So that's kind of the excitement for me as well, as well as making it and editing it and producing it. Like that's what my day job was anyway. And I got into radio and audio making because it's a passion of mine. So that sort of stuff came easy. But yeah, the challenge and the exciting bit was, you know, any day you could go viral with something and then suddenly you've got a load of new followers. And it's just a really exciting challenge. And when you see the numbers get bigger, it's a really fulfilling moment. But you should also not really count on it as well, because, you know, it can go up and then the next month it's gone down a bit. And you need to be okay with that. So if you're asking this question because you're starting some sort of blog or podcast yourself, then yeah, just don't put all of your success on those numbers, because that's not what really counts. It's more the quality of those numbers. So, you know, we haven't got the biggest following for a podcast ever, obviously, but we get incredible messages from you, like almost daily, I'd say, and they really do push us forward, and it's really nice. But yeah, so your question was, how did you get the motivation to do your podcast knowing that we didn't have the large audience yet? But yeah, from the start, you shouldn't really be thinking about your audience in terms of numbers. It's more of you're at that point, it's a honeymoon phase and you're excited about the content that you're going to make and you're passionate about the subject. So just make it and see what happens.
Great advice there, Amy. Next question.
So this comes from Catherine from our accommodation episode. She wants to know about our love story and how we met. How did we get engaged and what was the wedding like and the honeymoon? Okay, that's about 10 years of our lives that we need to sum up.
Let's take this in chunks. Do you want to do how we met?
Okay, so when we met, I had another boyfriend.
Uh-oh.
Dun, dun, dun. I'd only been with him for like a month, so don't freak out about it. but we met at three separate parties. So I was going for my A-levels at this point, and Nick had left like school and college and all of that. And so the people that were in the year above me and the year below Nick, because he's two school years above me, they had some birthday parties coming up and we were both at the parties and we met at the buffet, didn't we?
Yeah, see, we knew straight away we had that in common.
Food.
We do love food. So we spoke, I guess we spoke about that. It was a long time ago now.
Yeah, so we were talking and we just kind of hit it off straight away, really. Like we had loads in common and we were just, I remember we were talking, I can't remember what, but we were talking for a long time. We were both a bit tipsy at least. Anyway, we had a really good conversation and your sister was watching us, wasn't she?
Yeah, she was thinking, I wonder how long it takes before he realizes that she has a boyfriend. So I asked you for your number, but he said, sorry, I got a boyfriend. So I was like, oh, I'm really sorry. Like, and then I kind of backed off.
Yeah, the very gentlemanly thing to do. You backed off. And so we met at the second party. And I believe this point I'd split up with the other guy. And at this point, because I'd just going through a breakup, I had quite a bit to drink. So I was with my friends and remember getting ready, it was pre-drinking, and then went to party, and then I spotted Nick from the other side of the room, and I was like, I remember that guy, we got on really well, I know, I'll go up to him and we can have a chat.
Just play it cool. You
just say, play it cool,
play
Amy.
It cool. Guys like confidence.
So I played it super cool, and I ran up to Nick and I tapped him on the shoulder and shouted, I'm single now. So
let's get you a cocktail.
So Nick bought me a drink and the rest is history. But at the third party, we met again, and that's when we had our first kiss. So
yes, then we made it official. I asked you to be my girlfriend.
We were sat on our bed and he was like, Amy, will you be my girlfriend?
Yeah, I was still going through puberty at the time.
You actually were.
So, yeah, that's how we met. Lovely. But the wedding, that was cool. It was like a DIY.
Oh, wait. Just very quickly. How did we get engaged? We got engaged in that exact point where we met at the buffet table.
Let me tell this one, because I'm the guy. I put all the effort into this one.
Okay.
So, yes, I said to Amy, let's go for... No, actually, I told you that my mum was visiting and we're going to go meet her for a meal in this town, Malden. That's where we first met.
Because it was her birthday.
Yes. So, yeah, it's a good excuse. It was my mum's birthday. She'll never suspect it. And we went to Malden and we walked past, like, the village hall, the place that we first met. And I didn't know what to say to get Amy in there, but I just grabbed her hand and said, I'll come in here for a second. Like, it'll be a laugh. It's where we first met, la, la, la. And as you went in there, it was all empty, apart from a set up. There was, like, flowers, and there was, like a plaque on the wall that said, we're in this spot, we met, like, 8 years ago, however long it was.
We met here in 2008.
Yeah. Met here on this very spot, and then it said, will you marry me? And then when she turned around to me, I was down on one knee. Great, with the ring, all good. She said yes, cried a bit, it was good.
A bit? I cried a lot, actually, and I'm not that type of person, but I just instantly, like, burst into tears.
But she thought it was over then, but it was not. We then checked into a little B&B nearby. We don't live far away, but we checked into a hotel, and it's one of the nicer ones in the town. There's not many to choose from. And then I said to Amy, right, let's go just for a celebration drink. Went around the corner to this bar. It's, like, quite a nice bar. And when we went to this bar, we walked in, all our friends and family were there, and we all got a round of applause, and then we just had one big party. So it was really hard to pull it all off without you knowing anything, like all our friends and family were there. And of course, if you said no, it would have been the worst party ever. So it was quite a stressful time.
That's normally people's response when we tell them that story. Oh my God, what would you have done if she said no?
Yeah.
But you're just a cocky shit and you knew I would have said yes.
She's not going to say no to this. So yeah, that was that.
And then can I explain our wedding?
Wedding, go.
Okay, so our wedding was actually travel themed, which is really cool. Like it was really, really nice. So the morning was very British, very traditional. We had this beautiful Tudor building, which Henry VIII had a connection to, I believe he used to go shooting there. And so it was very British morning, but then the afternoon was very travel related. So everything had a theme from a different country. So the food was an Australian barbecue. We were in a Mongolian yurt. We had a German bar. My dress was from Israel.
Nepalese flags.
Nepalese flags everywhere as decoration. We had Bhangra dancers from India.
I think that was it for the travel. Oh, where there was a Mexican piñata.
Yeah, we did piñata as well. So yeah, we just tried to take elements from loads of different countries, which was really fun. So obviously it was like the best day of our lives. And yeah, I wouldn't have changed a thing. It was amazing.
And yeah, like in the yurt, it turned into a massive party because we put all this wedding together ourselves. It was on like some private land we rented, got a yurt, had to get a generator and everything. But it meant that we didn't have a license to sell alcohol. So we just bought loads ourselves from the supermarket. So it was a free bar. It's a big party. There were also pedalos on this land that people could use to like sail out onto the lake, which is not a good idea really if you're drunk. But we set up.
There were no deaths. At the wedding.
No casualties. We set up loads of games as well, like people were playing football and Jenga, and there was a sack race as well. We picked four completely random people that didn't know each other to do a sack race. And each guest, this took a lot of time to prepare, each guest had an individual challenge. It might be something little like have a picture with so-and-so or...
I remember your dad once quite vividly because we had what they're called beer kegs, and he had to drink directly from the beer keg. So, I mean, it was very traditional and classy in the morning, but the afternoon wasn't that classy.
Turned into a right mess. But the idea of the challenges was to get people talking who would never normally speak to each other. And I think it worked. I think it helped people mix.
Yeah.
So it was a good day.
It was really good. It was brilliant. And just very quickly, our honeymoon was, we travelled around the south of India for 2 weeks, and then we did a week in the Maldives after, which was the most luxury I've ever experienced. It was unbelievable, and I'd recommend anyone to go to a Maldivian island for their honeymoon.
Yeah, and like these big resorts in the Maldives, I don't know how good they really are for the Maldives, and like part of me wanted to not enjoy it because I wanted to be like, this isn't traveling, but that week in the Maldives was amazing. One of the best weeks of my life. It was so good.
Everything looked photoshopped. I mean, the brochures are telling the truth. They're not lying. It does really look like that.
So that was that.
Right. Next question.
And this one's from Urban Nomad on Instagram. He said, how did the decision to travel full-time come about, and when are we going home?
Oh, okay. I don't really know where the idea came from. Do you?
It was a combination of just like years of watching lots of YouTube travel videos. And I think we spoke about this a bit on our long-term travel episode where we were a bit bored of just going to work, coming home, blah, 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 blah. So we've been thinking about it for years, really, and we decided to do it. But when are we going home, Amy?
Never. Is that the answer you wanted me to say?
Well, probably.
I don't know. You're in control, Nick.
Exactly. We go home when I say we go home. On the money we've got now saved, probably all 2019 will be traveling. But by the end, like Christmas 2019, maybe we'll go home. But if we can make more money on the way, then who knows? But I think it'll be the end of this year.
Okay, so you're not thinking we're going to earn more money. You're feeling quite positive about it then, are you?
Maybe we'll go home with money.
Maybe we'll go home separately.
It's a possibility, yeah.
Right, next question. Carla, what do you think of your first few episodes? Ooh.
Cringe.
Yeah, well, I don't listen to them because I'll probably want to do bad things to myself. And that doesn't mean masturbate.
I don't even go back and listen because, you know what? It'll probably be a lot better than what we think it'll be in our head. I think it'll be cringy. And if I'm being honest, back in the start, I think we were actually not, this doesn't count for this episode, but I think back at the start, we were a lot more sweary maybe.
Yes.
And I think because it was like a new podcast, we wanted to like burst on the scene and make a bit of an impact. Whereas now we've settled into more of our style and obviously we've grown up as well. But yeah, looking back, it's probably really cringe.
Yeah, I agree. I probably would listen one day when we're really famous and we're on like Graham Norton's TV show. He'll probably play us a clip and we'll cringe. And yeah, you can see our faces on TV then, can't you? Right, next question.
Melanie Haynes, she said, how will you manage traveling different seasons like winter and summer with only one bag?
This one's been difficult actually because... So at the moment, I'm carrying just my summer clothes. And luckily, we have left some of our winter clothes that we know we're not going to need these 2 months with a couchsurfing friend, Gustavo, in Sao Paulo. So he's got a bag of our stuff. Thanks, Gustavo. You're the man.
You are the man. It's not worth much as well, so don't try selling it.
Oh, please don't burn it. But we've kind of got away with it for 2 months, but it has been very annoying carrying around this extra bag because, of course, winter clothes are going to take up more room and, yeah, it's quite annoying. But we're going to need them when we get up to maybe like Mexico because it's not going to be that warm there, because especially Mexico City because it's quite high up. So we're thinking it's not going to be that warm. And we needed them a lot in places like Turkey. It was freezing in Turkey.
Yeah, so we actually bought coats, didn't we? Because we didn't come with coats. We thought we'd just be okay with a hoodie, but we needed to. So yeah, we had to buy a coat, which the coat was quite good because we knew we weren't going to need that for a long time. So one of Amy's friends visited us in Lisbon and we said, when you go back, can you take both our coats? So that was quite handy. So the coats we bought for Turkey are now back home in England.
Yeah, so we sorted that out. But I think there's loads of ways around it. If you know that you're going to be somewhere for like a year that's hot and you're going to need cold winter clothes, then I don't know, pack a bag ready and get a friend or family member to send it over. I know it would cost quite a bit, but I think if it saves you from carrying it around for like a whole year, then it's worth it.
And if you don't want to carry one big coat, then layers. Layers are good.
Yeah, layers keep you warmer than just one coat. Like, yeah, so... Yeah, layers, but then I guess that takes up more space in your bag anyway. But yeah, or just freeze.
Yeah, just put up with the cold.
Yeah. Also, Melanie's son, Noah, would like to know what editing software we use for our videos. Well, Noah, we use, I use Premiere Pro because Nick edits the podcast now and I mainly do the videos. That's kind of how we work it. And we use Premiere Pro for that.
And Adobe Audition for the podcast.
Yes, there you go. That's our tech specifications. Our next question is from Sensatious Hiatus on Instagram.
Yeah, and that's not an easy one to say. He asked, is hiking a long-distance footpath something you're interested in? I hiked the 2,189-mile Appalachian Trail in 2015, and nothing compares to a long-distance hike, in my opinion. They are a great way to see the country, which I get. They are a great way to see the country. But after our 4 days hiking in Nepal, I think our hiking days are behind us. It's just not something we really enjoy, is it?
I don't know. Well, you keep saying we, so because you're the boss, I guess I'm put under that.
Come on, Amy, tell me your thoughts.
Well, no, I think I'm feeling ready for another hike. It's been a few years. So we did the Annapurna trek around Nepal. And we've also done, which this isn't going to sound like a proper trek, but I promise you it is. We did Ben Nevis in Scotland.
Hardest thing I've ever done in my life.
It actually is. It was way harder than Nepal. Like Nepal sounds harder because it's adventurous and it's far away.
Himalayas, piece of piss.
Yeah. I mean, Everest, easy. Ben Nevis, too hard, okay? It's the highest mountain in the UK and it's in Scotland. We just thought we were going for an average hike, you know, a long walk for a few hours. We met up with our guide. He gave us crampons, which if you didn't know was the spiky things you attach to your shoes to go up like high distances. And he also gave us ice hooks because it was very icy upstairs.
Upstairs in the master room, in the guest room.
It was higher than upstairs in the house. No, like all the way up to the top, it was so foggy. It was like we were on top of Everest. Like, have you seen the film Everest? That was us. I nearly took all my clothes off because I thought I was hot.
That's a very good joke if you've seen the film. But yeah, hiking. Well, we're going to a national park in Brazil where you can do hikes, but they're only going to be like day hikes.
Well, you can do like 4 day ones if you want, but yeah, I don't know. I think I'd always like to come back to my shower. It's just my thing. I need to shower.
Plus, we found when we were doing hikes, we're just looking at where our next step is going to go. We're not really enjoying the view.
Ooh, so. that sounded deeper than you meant it to be.
I mean that on so many levels. But I know there'll be people who totally disagree, and that's fine. And if you enjoy doing hikes, great. I mean, this is very controversial, but when we go to Peru to see Machu Picchu, fuck the Inca Trail. We're going to get that train. Yeah, we don't want to do the walk. I know people say you've got to do the walk and you learn lots of stuff and it's the best way to see Machu Picchu. Yeah.
Yeah. And also I've heard you've got shit in and like a bucket that they carry around, which I'm not down for. So, yeah.
So there's your answer.
I mean,
no.
I like being adventurous. Like in this national park, we're going to do some abseiling down a mountain. That's my kind of adventure. Yeah, but like you were saying, like when you're on a hike, I find you don't stop enough and actually look at the view. Like you're just looking down at your feet and trying not to trip over and embarrass yourself. So
that's that one. Moving on, Mark Della Ventura, this guy.
He's got lots of questions.
Yeah, he's a bit messed up, isn't he, this guy? I'll take the first one then. Has long-term travel been what you thought? And if not, how different? I think it has been what we thought. I expected more tough times, actually. And don't get me wrong, there are still days where it's tough.
Like today when we argued.
Yeah. But and around the Middle East area, sometimes it was a bit challenging to travel around. But since I've been in Brazil, touch wood, it's all been smooth sailing. It's all been good. And I thought 4 months in, I thought I'd be more homesick than I am now. So, no, it's been actually a little bit better than what I thought.
Yeah, I'd agree with pretty much everything you just said. The second question, has travelling taught you things about yourself? Yeah, I think I've got a short temper.
Knew that anyway.
No, I think, yeah, what's travelling taught me? It's taught me how to stay calm, actually, yeah. Because I definitely have, when we first met, I had a really short temper, didn't I? Yeah. Like, anything would wind me up. But it's made me grow up. It's made me be more independent. And it's taught me about the world. I mean, obviously, I've never been racist or anything like that. But it's really ingrained that in me that we are all the same. And just seeing it for your own eyes and meeting people from every country that you've been to, it grounds you, I think. And I know it's really cliche to say, but traveling really does broaden the mind. It's made me really intelligent. I mean, now...
What? It sounded funny. It's made me really intelligent, talented, beautiful.
I'm just so humble. But yeah, I think as we met, I wanted to go traveling, but I just about could tell you where England was on a map, where now I could draw the world map without looking, because I'm that intelligent and humble, so...
Great. Okay. What country's food made you fart the most? This is all still Mark, by the way. This is the insight into his
That's a strange
brilliant mind.
Question.
What country's food made you fart the most? I don't know. Like, I just fart a lot anyway. It doesn't matter what country I'm in. Maybe like Indian food, maybe. It's a bit of a stereotype, isn't it? Actually, I think English Indian food. But Amy's got one.
I don't fart, so.
Oh, of course.
So, next question.
The food here in Brazil, feijoada.
Next question. Makes a fart. Have you ever peed in the ocean, Nick? Let's answer that one, shall we?
I told
we?
You there's more pee. Have I ever peed in the ocean? Yes. Did it yesterday, mate. And actually, if you've never done it, I mean, because especially a lot of the places we're going, the toilets are filthy and most of the toilets go into the ocean anyway. So you might as well just cut out the middle man. And if no one's done it before, it's honestly, it's one of the best feelings ever. You feel so free.
I mean, you can tell we have good sex, because if he thinks peeing in the ocean is the best feeling.
it's so good. I've done it on the regular on this trip. And yeah, just yesterday.
And so, do you remember me telling you about that toilet I went to yesterday with the black material?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I'd rather go in the sea than go there.
Yeah, so I went there when he went into the sea. So yeah, I actually don't know what one was best.
But you have done it before.
Yeah, I was forced to at one point because they wouldn't let me go to the toilet.
Yeah,
on
we're
the
on
tour.
A boat tour, weren't we? There's no toilets.
But they didn't know I went in the sea, so no one knew. It was okay.
And finally from Mark, when are you guys in the States?
Well, as we said, we're travelling all the way up to Mexico, but if we have more money at that point, we would love to head into America and possibly even Canada as well. So that's an option. But yeah, I mean, I'd never rule it out, but Mark... we'll be happy to meet you there.
Oh, yeah. And of course, and actually the USA, if we go USA, this depends a lot on our generous listeners, because by that point we will be broke. So we'll happily come visit people if we can stay. So if you live, you've heard from a few people over the years who have said, if you're ever in my state, let me know. So yeah, guys, if you're listening and you live in the USA and you want to give us somewhere to live for a bit, then we'll come.
And you can be on the podcast, so.
Yeah. Mark's already been on the podcast.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
But you can be on it again. Moving on.
Right, so this is from Becky. She said, who's in charge of budgeting and the money?
Well, because I have a wallet, I carry the money. But, and like, that means I pay for stuff physically, but it's both our money. And if I ever buy something and Amy says, oh, thanks for that, I'm like, don't thank me, it's both of our money. But in charge of spending, we're about, I don't know, 50-50, really. There are some days where you might be like, ah, fuck it, let's buy this. And other days where I say that. Or you might say, no, we need to save money. Or I might say, we need to save money. So yeah, I think it's 50-50.
Yeah, we're pretty 50-50 on it. But yeah, you physically hold the money because I can't be bothered to carry my purse or bag around. So
no pockets.
Yeah. So yeah, female garment makers, you need to put more pockets in because I would then hold the money. So if you ever see us on the street on this trip, you know who to mug. So,
or are we just saying that to be very clever? Moving on, Becky, another piss-related question. Becky said, have you ever had to pee on each other because of a jellyfish sting? And if not, would you? We never have, but yeah, I'd do it in a heartbeat.
Really? Okay, this is another friend's question, if nobody has known that. But it doesn't make sense. If anybody doesn't know. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I guess I would pee on you.
What, would you feel weird about it?
Well, I did it last night, didn't I? Because you bloody love it.
No, you didn't. Let's stop that rumour straight away. But now I sound really guilty. I'm telling the truth. You really didn't piss on me last night. So, but yeah, we'd do it to each other if we had to, yeah?
Have you ever been on a trip where someone stinks and you have to embrace the smell? We've been thinking long and hard about this one, but we can't think of anyone.
Yeah, I mean, when you are travelling or on long buses and don't shower as much, you were talking earlier about tourists that don't shower. So yeah, it's going to happen. Or someone might have bad breath, normally me. But
in which case, I do normally tell you, don't I?
Yes.
I always think, like, in a relationship, you need to tell the other person. Like, I'm happy if you ever tell me.
Yeah, bad breath is something that it's weird that we can never smell our own bad breath. Why is that? Only other people can smell it.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, not really is the answer to that question, but you just put up with it. That's fine. And finally, the final question from Alice.
Final countdown.
All right. Alice Stevens wants to know, and this is a great question for the end of this episode, where do you see the podcast and your careers going? Good question.
Good, strong question there, Alice. Thank you. I would say, see, this is something I think about regularly. So, yeah, I want the podcast to carry on because then that means that we carry on traveling and talking to locals and interviewing them. But the absolute dream, I would say, is we would love to make TV travel documentaries. And I don't just mean like where you should go on your next holiday. Not that kind of thing. I mean like real documentaries that, for example, Louis Theroux makes. So, I don't know, covering domestic violence in Mexico or prisons in Brazil. Something like that. Something that has real meaty journalism in it, but you can explore the world at the same time and explore issues around the world. That would be my dream. Both of us presenting that on TV. And yeah, that's where I would love this to go. How about you?
Yeah, I think I've always thought, while we enjoy the podcast, keep going for as long as possible. And I've just always wanted it to be something we can do and build, and eventually it might open doors for us. Like someone might listen, like a producer from one of these TV shows might listen and think, oh, these guys have got something, let's get in touch and see what they might want to do. I've been more so, yeah, TV would be great, even if it was like radio documentaries, so like podcasts, a bit like what we do now, but more hard-hitting stuff. Whether it's like radio or whether it's TV, I'm really happy and passionate about, yeah, being able to tell stories and make documentaries about interesting places around the world that people would never really think about or think to go to, or they wouldn't realise there's big issues in this country for, I've got no example in my head. But yeah, covering hard-hitting stories, TV or radio. And the podcast, who knows how long it'll keep going for. As long as we're enjoying it and as long as we're not doing something better, then keep it going.
Guys, we want to say a massive thank you to everyone that sent in a question. It really means a lot that you guys are following us and following the journey and, well, coming along the journey with us. So thank you very much.
Yeah, it was really fun answering all your questions. So thank you so much.
And to finish off, this is our last mini episode of this series. And we can tell you, thankfully, there will be a series 4 of the podcast. So yeah, more to come, guys.
Yeah, so next time we see you is the final episode, the big one. It's Israel and Palestine, and I mentioned this on the Jordan episode. We are going to get stick for this episode. No matter what we do, someone is going to say, you've mentioned Israel too much, or you've mentioned Palestine too much, or too little, or, you know, it's a very controversial place. So for those that don't know, Israel, you know, it's a country, but they've occupied Palestine. Some would say illegally, some would say not illegally. Palestinian people say it's our land, we were here first, and then Israel showed up and said, it's not yours, it's mine. But it's very complicated. The British are involved, we always seem to be involved, we seem to mess up these situations. So that's basically what's going on there, but we're going to get into that next time. Don't you worry about that.
despite that Nick just made that sound very depressing, there's lots of good stuff to talk about as well. So lots to come up on the next show, and it's the final of Series 3. So we'll see you then.
Don't forget, you can get in touch with the show. You can email us at whatthefoepodcast@gmail.com. We are also on all the social medias, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And we are also on Patreon. For more information on all those things, you can go to our website at www.whatthefoetravelpodcast.com.